In the name of our loving, liberating, life-giving God. Amen. God, enemies surround the gates. Men come for us with paper blades and malice, calling it care and love of life. Every day we are reminded of what we could change, but those who have power will not. We cry out to you, O God. Fires surround us. Even the air stings and chokes. The waters rise without ceasing, or our land is parched. We are trapped in homes, factories, in debt, while the rich build homes for their pets. We cry out to you, O God. We know there is an end, but we cannot discern it through screens. We know you are there, but we cannot feel your smile that sits behind a mask. So we wake, we work, we hope. We cry out to you, O God. Brian Bantam, professor of theology at Garrett Theological Seminary and author, offered this psalm at the end of a recent article in the Christian Century entitled, A Psalm of Unknowing. I took a break from sermoning on Friday afternoon and sat to read a bit to refresh my mind and came upon this article. It spoke to me so deeply that I dreamt that night about pieces of my life in ministry before pandemic that were filled with God's presence. And I woke wondering what was speaking to me so deeply. I had most of my notes together on Friday, reflecting on what gave blind Bartimaeus his true sight, the insight into just who Jesus was, clearer sight really than the disciples who left their livelihoods and families and followed this Jesus, as Bartimaeus would do from this encounter on. These reflections were woven with thoughts of stewardship and my gratitude to each of you for digging deep in faith and resources to give sacrificially to God's mission through Christ Church Cathedral. I believe you already know that we operate on a veritable shoestring, which requires sacrificial pledging from each one of us, along with thanksgiving for the gift of our endowments. God knows your heart in this and trusts in us to give out of our gratitude to God so that God's realm of love, justice, equity, mercy, and hope can overcome the hate, brokenness, inequity, and injustices of our world and at times our humanity. So I thank you. I love you. I am blessed to walk in faith and love with you and with all to whom God calls us to share in ministry. My request is simple. Please discern your giving knowledgeably and prayerfully and make your pledge as soon as possible. Much of the mission God calls us to is faithfully represented in the numbers of the proposed 2022 budget and in the narratives in the brochure, which also represent the hopes of this community to answer God's audacious call among us. Our elected leadership will take the pledge numbers that we have in hand in November and painfully begin to make any cuts then required from an already bare bones budget, and some of God's mission will not be met. This is our situation in plain sight. I trust you will faithfully sacrifice what you can, and we will once again, with gratitude for God's love all around us, embrace our call with all we are, all we have, and filled with the liberating, life-giving love of God, our Savior. Now back to Bartimaeus. As Timothy Adkins Jones, professor of homiletics at my alma mater, Union Theological Seminary in New York City, reflects, Bartimaeus is outside normal communal operations. His role as a blind man is to be barely seen and not often heard. It is a bold and daring act for him to shout. His quiet presence should remind pious community members of their obligation to give alms. He does not have the right to be obtrusive. He is allowed to beg, but not to badger. Yet, Bartimaeus cries out. And then he cries out all the more when told to be quiet. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's unclear whether it is the volume, the desperation, or the specifics of his words that stop Jesus. But Jesus stops and commands that this man be called. And here's where I think this healing story reveals that more than a miracle, this is a story of a call, a disciple accepting an assignment. The transformation of Bartimaeus, Professor Adkin Jones writes, begins before he is given his sight. Yes, he ends up receiving a physical healing in this encounter with Jesus. But before he is healed, he is able to perceive Jesus more clearly than almost anyone else Jesus has encountered in Mark's gospel up to this point. Notice that Bartimaeus is told that it is Jesus of Nazareth who is coming by, a title that identifies Jesus only by his peasant hometown. But when Bartimaeus cries out, what does he say? He says, Jesus, Son of David, identifying Jesus by his messianic designation, Jesus the Messiah, the promised deliverer, the Savior. So far in Mark, no one else has been able to perceive Jesus this well with so little information. This is the only passage in which the title Son of David appears in Mark. And it's worth noting that Jesus does not silence him. Mark's Jesus, who has been so secretive about his identity, not only allows Bartimaeus to refer to him this way, but rewards him with his sight. It's no wonder to me now that I took this miraculous story into my sleep. I wrestled with where in my life have I truly been given, or more truthfully claimed, such insight? Somewhere inside Bartimaeus, he had already seen Jesus. Seen Jesus as the Messiah, as his Savior, when all the physically sighted people who passed by the blind man on the side of the road, on the outskirts of Jericho, day after day, ignoring his cries for help, never truly saw Jesus. I woke up in the midst of a dream that was really a recollection of a few of the moments in my life when the liberating, life-giving, loving God, our Savior, was so clear to me, so present, I almost wanted to build three booths like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, to hold on to this amazement, to keep this awe of such insight. Most of these moments of spiritual clarity had not much to do with my physical eyesight, and had so much to do with a rich and persistent prayer life at that time, that opened a place within that could see something new to me and awesome and yet always there by God's love. There have been numerous moments of presence that I can remember, of what the mystics call knowing, or being so close to God's love and presence that I'm compelled by awe itself to fully open that place within that I protect so closely that something of God's glory is often nearly shut out. In these moments, I am given to see the blessings of love and hope that God scatters all around us all the time. In these fleeting encounters with Jesus in my life, I see. I am filled with awe, amazing love, hope, faith, trust, and belief. I can quite imagine Bartimaeus making his way to Jesus despite all the stern comments that he should be quiet, and yet crying even more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Belief. Believing that Jesus would heal him and prepare to not go back and grab his precious cloak and then leave to claim a renewed life among his own people, but to stay right there and follow Jesus as a disciple himself. In this moment, blind Bartimaeus saw clearly what no one around him could see. He saw the very presence of God in Jesus, the Savior, the hope of humanity. What struck me so deeply, I think, is that in the day after day, week after week, month after month, and nearly year on year of isolation, masks, loss, pain, 8 to 10 Zoom meetings a day, physical distancing from you, from my family, from communion itself, and watching so much death, so many broken places in our world, on our streets, across the country, so much loss, grief, suffered in physical isolation for so many, my heart was nearly breaking. And yet, there were moments of awe, of God's love, of seeing beyond eyesight that God is as always among us, wrestling forth hope, life, and love from despair, death, and hate. These long days of pandemics, losses too numerous to name, the story of Bartimaeus reminds us that our God is an audacious, outrageously loving, giving Savior, and is right here, as always, lovingly watching for us to see. Ending the article, A Psalm of Unknowing, which was supposed to refresh me yet rattled around in my sleep, Professor Bantam wrote these words that did prick my hope anew. It feels a bit like we are in the first part of a psalm, where the narrator laments and cries out to God, cries against God, cries for God. We sing and sing behind our masks, waiting for that but that turns the reader back to God, reminding us of what God has done, of what God's presence might be. Deep down, I know this. I know that we are not the only people to live in a moment when the world feels like it's hurling towards something terrible. I know that I am not even close to fraying ends. But somehow in this moment, I can feel the pulls and the tugs of interconnectedness in ways I had never quite been pricked by before. So rather than end with platitudes or manufactured hope, Bantam offers a song with his prayer that we will be reminded of the rest we need, the hope we desire, the people we are and could be, the people we are given the grace and gifts to be. God, enemies surround the gates. Men come for us with paper blades and malice, calling it care and love of life. Every day we are reminded of what we could change, but those who have power will not. We cry out to you, O God. Fires surround us. Even the air stings and chokes. The waters rise without ceasing, or our land is parched and dry. We are trapped in homes, factories, in debt, while the rich build homes for their pets. We cry out to you, O God. We know there is an end, but we cannot discern it through screens. We know you are there, but we cannot feel your smile that sits behind a mask. So we wake, we work, we love, we hope. We cry out to you, O God. And we come to see that you are with us now, that you are with us always. May we have the faith to truly see you and to follow. Amen.